If you're thinking about it, she's talking about it. Join the conversation at 203-333-9422. The Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. Hello and good morning. Joining us now, Connecticut State Senator Will Haskell, who represents the 26th District, which includes the towns of Reading, Richfield, Wilton, parts of Bethel, Weston, Westport, as well as New Canaan. Senator Will Haskell has the distinction of being the ripe old age of 24, having been elected at the advanced age of 22, and he joins us now. Hi, Will. Welcome to the show today. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning, Lisa. Thank you so much for having me.
How does it feel to be such an aged and senior member of the people in Hartford?
I don't know about that. I have really enjoyed my time in Hartford, and I can't wait to get back up there.
I bet.
We've been working remotely. We've been helping folks with constituent services and figuring out how to do this job virtually. But the idea that we're going to get back to legislating and remembering that the legislative branch is actually a co-equal branch of government, it really has me very excited.
It would be nice to remember that. When is the Senate session happening? Is it Tuesday?
It looks like we'll be up there starting on Tuesday to consider four bills, each of which I think are really important and timely given the fact that we're in a historic public health crisis.
The question will be for you, three of them passed almost unanimously. We actually just had one of the advocates for the insulin bill, second time on the show. She came on just a few minutes ago. But one of them passed, you know, handily in terms of the overall bill, but there was a 72-72 tie that ultimately Speaker Arasemowitz settled with respect to qualified immunity and police accountability. And I've gotten a number of phone calls and emails about this. So let me ask you, Senator Haskell, do you think that the bill as intact with the qualified immunity is the bill that's going to pass the Senate this next week? Or do you think that qualified immunity will still be up for debate and maybe stripped out?
Well, it's a really difficult issue, and I've heard from a lot of constituents. I respect folks who come at this issue from both sides. Let me just point out one sort of procedural thing, and that's the fact that the House gaveled out, meaning they ended their special session today after that fourth vote. And that means that if the Senate were to amend the bill, it would effectively kill the legislation. The House isn't going to come back in and vote on the new version of the bill. So the Senate effectively needs to pass. If we're going to pass strong police accountability and make sure that we're responsive not only to the murder of George Floyd, but also Breonna Taylor and the so many folks who have suffered here in Connecticut as well, the Senate needs to pass the bill that was passed by the House for procedural reasons. Otherwise, the whole thing goes up in smoke. And I know
that's very helpful
to a lot of people, but that's the reality.
Okay, now that's really helpful. And on the basis of that, what is the Democrat-Republican ratio right now in Hartford in terms of the state Senate?
In the Senate, there are 22 Democrats out of 36. Now, this was a bill that in the House, it was actually, it divided a lot of Democrats. So I don't want to speak yet on behalf of my Democratic colleagues. We're on conference calls constantly. It's a bill that originally had 41 sections. I think now, after last night's passage, or this morning's passage, I should say, it's up to 45 sections. So I'm sure my colleagues are going to look over it carefully. And I wouldn't presume to say that the bill is going to be unanimous among our caucus.
Okay. It's interesting. Jonathan Steinberg of Westport voted against that particular provision, but overall voted for the bill.
That's correct. That's my understanding. I was not in Hartford, though. I was watching from the comfort of my own home during a late night session, which was kind of fun.
Right. You get to do that now. You may not get to do that on Tuesday, but you get to do that now.
I'll be packing a sleeping bag when we go up next week. That's for sure.
We're talking with Senator Will Haskell. So Senator Haskell, let's talk about education and hybrid, because I know one of your towns, Wilton, for example, is already pushing back against the governor's mandates to come up with a plan for full in-school. And frankly, I think it's a checkerboard. We're all over the place in this state. Public opinion doesn't lead in any particular direction, but the science for the well-being of the children and the best interests of the children is pretty clear, that the extent to which we can get them in an actual classroom versus a virtual classroom, they are better off.
Right. This is such a hard issue, and there are no easy answers. What I do know is that in the seven towns that I represent, parents, teachers, administrators, and students themselves have been really hard at work trying to figure out a safe and responsible way to bring as many students back into the classroom as possible. Generally speaking, they're trying to prioritize bringing back those younger students because we know that the social and emotional learning, in addition to the academic learning, is so important for those elementary school students. But from what I've heard from local boards of education, from local superintendents, is that when you get into the secondary school environment, cohorting and social distancing becomes a little bit more challenging. In high schools, there are all sorts of dilemmas about maintaining 6 feet or 3 feet, how to deal with students during the lunch hour and in the hallway. So you know this about me, Lisa. I've got a tremendous amount of respect for Governor Lamont. I think he's been an absolute hero in containing the spread of COVID-19 and ushering through a historic crisis. But I decided to write a letter yesterday asking the governor and the commissioner to maybe give districts a little bit more flexibility if they want to pursue a hybrid model. If they want to say, well, let's get all students back into the classroom, but let's alternate, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday versus Thursday, Friday, or let's divide the day into two. Districts are trying to get creative, and they just need a little bit of latitude from the state to actually consider those hybrid plans.
I thought the state required three plans by last Friday. I thought that originally, and maybe I'm wrong, but I thought the state said to every school district, you have to come up with an in-person plan, a hybrid plan, and an all-at-home plan. Is that not the case?
No, you're exactly right, Lisa. They had to come up with three plans, a full reopening, a full closing with remote learning, and a hybrid model. The action that sparked my letter was there was a memo that came out from the Department of Education that said they're at this point really moving full steam towards the full reopening plan. And if a district failed to submit a full reopening plan, then they would be deemed not compliant. And there's another kind of in the weeds issue here, but I think it's important, so I want to bring it up. Normally, the school year is 180 days mandated by the state. The State Board of Education has lessened that slightly. They're saying that it's actually going to be 177 days. But here's the issue that some districts are running into. It is right now the position of the state that a remote learning day would not be counted towards that 177-day requirement. This makes it really hard for districts to effectively plan a full school year under the hybrid model.
That is. I can see that. If you're asking a school district to have a hybrid model, then you have to recognize the legitimacy of that hybrid learning. Otherwise, what's the point?
That's exactly right. And look, school districts and the State Department of Ed, they're working overtime trying to get every student back to the classroom. And I totally support that effort. I hope to God that students can be back in school this fall. But for a district on the ground, as they're making those nitty-gritty decisions, if they decide that a hybrid model is a little bit more safe or makes more sense given the needs of their individual community, if that's how they're best going to protect the safety of students and their families and the teachers, well, then I think the district should be given that flexibility.
We're chatting with Will Haskell at 203-333-9422. If you'd like to ask a question or be part of the conversation with your comment, whether you're a teacher or parent or interested person in the community, 203-333-9422. Let me ask you something, Will. How are we going to, because when March happened and really end of March-ish, middle end of March, we were all sliding through this thing, hoping that this was going to go away and be in our rearview mirror quickly. But now we see it isn't. So how are we going to help Bridgeport? How are we going to help Hartford? How are we going to help families that may even be in our more affluent suburban school districts who don't want to admit that their families don't have Wi-Fi and don't have computers? How are we going to drill down family by family and make sure that every child has the equipment to do long-distance learning?
That's such an important question, and I'm glad you asked it. The seven towns that I represent, by and large, they've done a really good job of getting students up and running in through remote learning. It's been challenging, of course, for kindergarten classes to figure out how to do that sort of education remotely. That being said, the districts that I represent have done a good job because they're just been a resource, and there are many
districts
across the state that were not able to get students up and running. We see that in many urban areas, they're running into exactly the issues that you mentioned. Maybe there's not internet connectivity at the home. Maybe there's not somebody who, maybe a child has two essential workers as parents, so there's no one to stay home with that child. Maybe there's not a laptop. The State Department of Education has been working really hard alongside a lot of folks actually look at Dalio Philanthropies and other charitable organizations to get laptops into the hands of students. I believe they've donated over 100,000 laptops. And for younger students, they're donating book packets. I know that in at least one Connecticut city, they've set up a Wi-Fi with a Wi-Fi trailer so that a whole neighborhood can have access to the internet. This is patchwork, and there's a lot more that needs to be done. And it's why, of course, I serve on the state level, but it's why I'm so hoping that in Washington this week we see some bipartisan compromise to fund K through 12 education. We know that whether students are at home or whether they're coming back into the classroom, there are so many new costs associated with educating students during a pandemic. There's PPE, there's plexiglass, there's testing, there's just a lot that needs to be done. So, you know, the House passed the House of Representatives in Washington passed a pretty substantial funding package for K through 12, the HEROES Act. I don't, you know, it looks like the Senate's not going to take it up, but there have been senators, Republican senators, who have said, you know what, we do need to spend federal dollars and make sure that schools have the equipment that they need, whether they're going to be remote or in person. And I just hope that that results in money coming to Connecticut because we could use it.
So let me just tell you, because, you know, where the rubber meets the road is in my life as probate judge. I get to have fun as a radio host, but the rubber meets the road in my probate court. And I see families, and I saw families last fall, because you might not expect it in Westport or Weston, but it's there. But also I get cited in a lot for cases for Danbury, Fairfield, and Norwalk and things like that, you know, when judges for whatever reason can't handle a case, and Bridgeport. And so I saw last spring, because we have a lot of children's cases, families in which elementary school children were sent home to learn. And the guardian, who was very often not the parent, that's why they're in my court. So that means they're usually a grandparent. So they're older. Mm-hmm. And we know there's a huge generation gap for information. There's a huge generation gap for technology. That's a reality. And I just was so frustrated. I was crying with the guardians about the fact that, you know, the little ones know how to use their iPhones and their iPads, but that's not the same thing as what is required to sit attentively in front of a screen and learn from a teacher. And there was just a real lag. And I just felt that the families, Will, Senator Haskell, did not have institutional support, that there wasn't an agency within a school district, a human being assigned within the school district to make sure that every family was up and running with Wi-Fi and equipment. And I just think that's what we need to do. Every school district has to have that point person now.
You know, I agree, and there's a lot more work that needs to be done. I do know what one, it's not going to solve everything, but one piece of inspiration here is that over the summer, these local school boards, as they've been planning to reopen, they've also been building out contingency plans. What to do if there's an outbreak? Are they going to make sure that remote learning is more robust and more inclusive and more equitable if we have to move in that direction in the fall? So those contingency plans they had to submit to the state, they've learned a lot, right? Remote learning happened so quickly last spring. A lot of teachers themselves were blindsided by this. We're hoping that if remote learning is a necessity in the fall, that we're going to have some lessons learned and be a little bit better at it. It's never going to be perfect, and it's why we've got to beat this virus. We've got to keep everybody wearing masks. We've got to social distance as much as possible, and hopefully we're going to get students back in the classroom as soon as it's safe.
So let me ask you this, Senator Haskell, since we're talking about schools. We know in Norwalk, they shut down the whole summer school program for a week because somebody was found to have COVID. You realize it's inevitable. And Dr. Fauci has said this. COVID is here. It's not going anywhere. It's inevitable that somebody in an entire school district is going to get COVID. Is it your advice? Do you think that it's good policy for the school to shut down? What do you think should happen? We know it's going to happen. What do you think we should do?
Well, I think what's good policy is not for state senators to make that decision. I think it should be local public health officials in coordination with our State Department of Public Health who utilize the important tools of contact tracing. Look at New Canaan, for example. Over the summer, they made sure that every one of their school nurses is trained in these really challenging and unique skill of contact tracing, so that if there is an outbreak, they're prepared to track it, contain it, and make the appropriate decisions to whether or not to shut down schools or to isolate a classroom. Again, public policy decisions should be led by science and not politics. And while I have the honor of representing about 100,000 people in the state Senate, I am not an epidemiologist. So I think that decision should be left to local boards of education, but most importantly, the State Department of Health and the local Department of Health.
Okay, so then that's what it's going to be. So if there are local outbreaks, they should be handled locally, in your view?
The State Department by public health, is ready to provide resources. But, yeah, I think that public health officials should lead
public
the way
health.
In these conversations.
Yeah.
Not politics, that's for sure.
Okay. How have you been spending your summer, Senator Will Haskell? Have you gotten to get away? Are you going away anywhere where you're allowed to go away? I mean, what have you been doing? Take any vacation?
No, I just the opposite. It's been actually busier than ever, Lisa. There's a lot of people in my district who hadn't previously ever reached out to the state government for help. They didn't know who their state senator was. But now for the first time, they were applying for unemployment. They were concerned that they couldn't meet their mortgage payments. They some really basic things. They didn't know whether or not they should go to the DMV to renew their car registration.
That was a big thing.
All sorts of nitty-gritty issues that people are facing. Sometimes and other times they're really monumental decisions that they're facing about whether or not they're going to be able to put food on the table or gas in the car. So honestly, the constituent services part of my job has been busier than ever. My phone's been ringing off the hook. And although I haven't been doing any legislating, I am on the phone from, 8 a.m. until at least 8 p.m. every day with constituents trying to help them through those issues. And it's been really rewarding, but it has not been a typical summer vacation.
No, I believe you. I feel the same way about my life, too. I was looking at my watch right around the middle of May and saying, when am I going to get a break? I know.
It's amazing what the essential workers in so many different fields who have stepped up. But probate courts, as you know better than I, they basically didn't miss a beat during this pandemic
and
have continued to serve the population.
Yeah, well, we needed to be there. All right, Will Haskell, well, I'm so glad you came on. I guess what you're saying, my takeaway is that you think that the state needs to let up a little bit on school districts, allow them to be able to count the distance learning days, presumably approved in terms of what the content is, toward the day, so that the hybrid model can move forward, because if it doesn't, then the hybrid model can't move forward, right? If you can't count
the
day.
Right.
Yeah.
Districts just need a little bit of flexibility. And Lisa, I'm so grateful that you had me on. I hope that you stay healthy.
You too. Senator Will Haskell, the 26th. We'll be right back. More of the Lisa Wexler Show coming up.